Good morning, everyone. This morning we are in Proverbs chapter 7, and what a lovely proverb it is. It starts off, I think, with some very important words in particular. My son, keep my words and treasure my commandments within you. Keep my commandments and live, and my teaching as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers and write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your intimate friend. What beautiful words written by Solomon here. Keep my words and treasure my commandments within you. Keep my commandments and live. As I've often taught those who know me, I think one of the greatest things a Christian can do is stay connected to God through His Holy Word. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that this morning. This morning, I got up at around, got out of bed, I should say. Sometimes I lay in bed for a little while, but I got out of bed about 5 a.m. and got my coffee. And I have a room, a sunroom, that's separate from the rest of the house. And I'm in that room, and I put on some really worshipful music, and that's how I start my day every day, is with that music. And then I go through a time of prayer. Sometimes it's long, sometimes it's short, but I have a methodology of prayer that I go through that I consistently use, and it begins with, it's called Ask, I Pray. It begins with adoration, recognizing the Holy Spirit and asking Him to be with me, helping Him to have me focus on His kingdom come, His will be done. Then I intercede for others and pray for others in my life. And then I pray for my own needs. I go through a time of repentance. That's the R. The A stands for love and forgiveness. And I ponder how the Lord would have me love and forgive those in my life. And then finally, Yahweh, deliver me. It follows the Lord's Prayer, and again, I'm faithful to pray. Sometimes I go through that at length, and sometimes I do it more briefly, but I always do begin with acknowledging the Lord. And then I begin to look at the Word of God. But when I look at the Word of God, I really do see it as the Word of God. I revere it. I believe it is good and right. It is good for my soul. I don't believe there's better instruction in all the world. There's no book that can compare. So when I open this, I do treasure it and I revere it. And I also believe that it's the sword of the Spirit. So being in the Word of God is not absent of the Spirit. It needs to be thought about as Spirit-filled so that you're kindling a relationship with the Lord, both through His Word, but also through the spiritual connection. In fact, as you know, He's come to reside inside of you. So you look at it as though God can speak to you powerfully and has important things to say straight from His Word. And what a beautiful thing it is. Now, I really believe these foundational things of prayer and worship and viewing the Word as Spirit-filled and revering it. That's why the podcast is called Revering the Word. It sets up the Word to have its way and God to have His way in your life. Sometimes if it's looked at as a book, or maybe it's not looked at prayerfully or spiritually, it's still going to be good, but it may not impress upon you what it could if you look at it in a manner of revering it as spiritually empowered. So I hope that helps in some way. And then secondly, I want to say that this proverb, as we get further into it, really deals with, in fact, let me read the next verse. So, my son, keep my words and treasure my commandments within you. Keep my commandments and live, and my teaching as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of the heart. Make sure the Word of God is in you and with you all the time. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your intimate friend. And then it says that they may keep you from an adulteress, from the foreigner who flatters with her words. And this proverb is going to specifically talk about how now your relationship with God and your time with Him in His Word is going to and can help you stay away from sexual immorality. I want to say to you that I believe that that's true. I've been married going on 29 years to my bride, and I know that I've been faithful to her. And I really think that my habits of being in God's Word never lets me stray away far from Him. I really do feel like I've had a very consistent walk. I've been walking with the Lord since 96, so it's been about 28 years now that I've been walking with God, and I do believe it's been a pretty consistent walk, actually very consistent walk, and I attribute that to the power of His Word and the habit, and habits are important, of consistently being with Him. Because when you're with Him on a daily basis, you don't want to sin against Him. Hide my word in your heart that I might not sin against thee. And the other thing that goes along with this is it says, wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your intimate friend. Keep my teaching as the apple of your eye. Is that God is always in our audience. And that's important to know. I've talked about this several times, those of you who go through this podcast. It's called the audience of one, and meaning that God is always in our audience. He knows what we say, what we do, even what we think. And to always be thinking as you're going through your day that God is in my audience. I was talking to you about using the Lord's name in vain the other day, and in a different podcast. And the thing is that I don't want to say something or do something that would dishonor God, because He's always in my audience. And although I don't use the Lord's name in vain, I was thinking about a couple times golfing where I hit frustrating shots and I slammed my club on the ground. And I had to apologize to people in my group for letting that kind of a emotion out in a negative way. And that's a bad witness. And, but not only did I do it in front of people, but I did it in front of God. God knows everything that I do. So it really helps to have the audience of one mentality. There's no secrets before God. And this passage here deals with sexual immorality. Any sexual immorality or any images or things someone might be looking at or doing online, or any sexual thing that you're doing that's not with your wife, it's not of the Lord, and God knows. God knows. He's right there. And once you really comprehend that, then why would you want to do anything like that? Because you can't hide. It's impossible to hide from God. So this is so important. When you believe this, it changes the way that you live. Now, does that mean that I don't make mistakes in life? I constantly, even sometimes as I'm teaching to you guys, I'm thinking about, like, sometimes maybe I'm dealing with a customer service person over the phone and I'm being short with them, or maybe even rude at times. And, shame on me. Sometimes I want to get to the point so I can get off the call. I'm sure you understand. But I have my own human waywardness as well. And, I got to remember in all situations that God is in my audience. So, anyways, I hope this is helpful to you. The last thing I want to share as we get into the rest of this passage, it really deals with a woman trying to seduce a man into sexual immorality, and that how we need to be prepared to stay away, because we are, God is on our thoughts, and the word has, we haven't been far from Him or from His word, which means we want to say no to the woman. But I happen to be preaching this morning, this is a Sunday morning, and I'm going to be preaching later today on Revelation 16 and 17, and there's a woman in Revelation 17 that appears, and she's called a harlot. And really, it's not so much literally a woman, but most of the commentators believe that it's a spiritual harlotry, which God uses that kind of terminology in His Old Testament as well, is that when we go and forsake Him, and don't follow his word and don't follow his truth, but we worship something other than him, it's like a spiritual harlot. So what I want to say to you is that although this proverb is going to deal really specifically with sexual temptation, I want to say to you that the same principles regarding treasuring God's word and keeping them as the apple of our eye and writing them on the tablet of our heart, it applies really to any sin, any harlotry, any way that we would get away from God. It doesn't have to be sexual immorality. It could be other ways that we're dishonoring him, but the same applies. This same thing as far as having a consistent habit and seeing God as high and lifted up and seeing his word as revered and doing it daily and knowing that God is always in our audience, it will apply to any sin we may be struggling with. Let's go. Verse 6. For at the window of my house, I looked out through my lattice and I saw among the naive and discerned among the youths a man lacking sense, passing through the street near her corner. And he takes the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the middle of the night, and in the darkness. Not a lot good happens in the middle of the night. And behold, a woman comes to meet him, dressed as a harlot and cunning of heart. She is boisterous and rebellious. Her feet do not remain at home. She is now in the streets, now in the squares, and lurks by every corner. I think it's interesting that this passage really deals with like some kind of like seductive woman. And there are them. However, let's not forget that, you know, sometimes it's many times it's the man in his own waywardness and not so much exactly what's happening here. But in this case, this is what's happening as a woman is seducing him. So she seizes him and kisses him. And with a brazen face, she says to him, I was due to offer peace offerings. Today I have paid my vows. Therefore I have come out to meet you, to seek your presence earnestly, and I have found you. She's trying to make it sound like somehow she's doing what's right. And, you know, that's what spiritual harlotry is, by the way, is it's a, you know, and we'll see this in the book of Revelation, it's a false church. It's someone who pretends to be part of a true church, but really has watered and compromised so much that it's no longer truly following God. And then because it's a church, people are fooled to think, oh, well, this must be okay because some person who attends a church thinks this is okay, or this is right, or that is right. And it's no longer even honoring God like I've talked to you about all morning. And it's a spiritual harlotry. And sometimes that's worse than anything else because it pulls people away from the true God and it deceives people thinking because it's a church building that that something's good and right and holy when it's false the whole time. And she's trying to convince this man that, oh, I've paid my offerings and peace offerings and my vows like she's some kind of upright woman. I have spread my couch with coverings with colored linens of Egypt. I've sprinkled my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us drink our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with caresses. For my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. And what a sad thing this is. So this is now not only a harlot, but an adulterer. Just a really sad case here. He has taken a bag of money with him. At the full moon, he will come home. So her husband, she believes, is going to be away for a while. With her many persuasions, she entices him. With her flattering lips, she seduces him. And men, I want to say to you that you don't even engage in this. You immediately turn away. You turn your back and you walk, you run if you have to. You don't sit and enjoy the attention of some woman who's not your wife. You just simply turn away immediately. Stay away. Don't even put yourself in the situation any longer that it could turn into something that you know you shouldn't. So just get away as quickly as possible. Suddenly he follows her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as one in fetters to the discipline of a fool, until an arrow pierces through his liver. And, you know, you do something like this, and it's going to cause pain and misery in your life. As a bird hastens to the snare, so he does not know that it will cost him his life. Now, therefore, my sons, listen to me, and pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For many are the victims she has cast down, and numerous are all her slain. Her house is the way to Sheol, descending to the chambers of death. Do you know how you don't allow yourself to be seduced? Is you stay with Jesus in the Word, revering Him. And you will recognize the temptation that comes before you, and you will have the strength to turn away. Do you know how people fall for this? They fall away from God. They become complacent in their relationship with God. They're not spending daily time with Him. They're not revering Him. And as a result, their faith is weak. And then when temptation comes, they're much more likely to fall. The key to staying in Christ is to create a habit that lasts a lifetime, to be with God on a daily basis, and not only with Him, but revering Him and revering His Word and doing it regularly. And you will have the strength to say no to temptation. And you will remember that you are in the audience of one, and you will be a man or woman of God. Stick with Him on a daily basis. It will lead to a life that honors Him now and rewards in heaven. God bless you all.